Say he was a prophet, and now he's dead and gone. But they don't understand the peace that's given from him. So I will loudly proclaim, I am a Christian. I will gladly put my trust in him. I will fervently stand as a soldier with the Bible our sword and the captain as our God. I will proudly be a patriot of the land. They came up on our soil to defy our Lord and Savior and to run down terror from the sky. They destroyed two of our treasures while God watched our crying and seeing all the tears in our eyes. Believing in the one that calms all our fears and trusting in the Savior, oh, his coming is so near. So I will loudly proclaim, I am an American. I will gladly put my trust in her. I will fervently stand as a soldier with the Bible our sword and the captain as our God. I will proudly be a patriot of this land. So I will loudly proclaim, I am a Christian. I will gladly put my trust in him. I will fervently stand as a soldier with the Bible our sword and the captain as our God. I will proudly be a patriot of the land. Oh, I will proudly be a patriot of the Lamb.
Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Proverbs, chapter 14. Proverbs, chapter 14. I'll read one verse as a launching platform into our message today. The title of our message is this: Can God Bless America Again? Can God Bless America Again? Stand, if you will, for the reading of this one verse in Proverbs 14 and verse 34. The Bible says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Very wise words for the citizens of America. Righteousness exalteth a nation. The Bible doesn't say we get ahead by dishonesty, by crooked dealings, by being people who are pursuing evil or wickedness. But righteousness, doing right morally, being honest, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Can God bless America again? Heavenly Father, we thank you for our history. We thank you that we can look back to times when the hand of God was moving on us and with us and for us. When God's blessings were enjoyed by God's people in a land called the United States of America. And now, Heavenly Father, our nation has come to the place where there's about as many people who are not Christians, who are secular in their belief, as there are those who claim to be a Christian. Lord, I know this, there's more claiming to be Christians than practicing Christianity. Help us to take heed to your word and to realize that more than we need government, we need God. More than we need prosperity, we need God. More than we need victory, we need God. Help us to come back to that place where we're in a position where God can bless us once again. I love America. I thank you for our nation. I thank you for those who have paid a price for our liberty and our freedom from our forefathers in the beginning of this country. And every man, woman, boy, and girl who have fought and died, lived, and have done right to honor our nation and to keep our land free. Help me today, dear God. Help me to bring this message with power and liberty so that every person here can feel the moving of God in their own heart and conviction about our own needs. And we'll thank you in advance for what you shall do today. We ask you to save the unsaved that are here. We ask you to add to our church today. You know who we are, and you know the needs of our heart. You know where we stand spiritually in the sight of our holy God. Do your work in us. And Lord, help us to respond with an open heart and a submissive spirit to the will of God for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Every year for many years, I've preached in a national conference called the God Save America Conference. This conference was born in Mesquite, Texas, when a teenager led his youth group to have a rally celebrating the 200th birthday of the United States of America. For many years since, this conference has been held to call America back to God and our fathers and the God of our fathers and to our Bible. I believe America needs saving. I believe America needs saving from ourselves. The greed in our hearts has permeated our nation and saturated our dealings with one another. I believe we need saving from our politicians. Where are the politicians today that are serving for the people, for the land, instead of making their decisions to protect their political career? We need saving from our own sin and our own wickedness today. The greatest enemy and threat we face today is not the enemy terrorist that blows up buildings and airplanes. Our greatest threat and enemy is in our own nation, among our own people, who are trying to rewrite our history and take away our Christian and Bible heritage. Our greatness as a nation is found only when we discover our true history and the one true God America was founded on. Not only does America need to be saved from the direction we're headed, we ought to desire what we cannot provide for ourselves. I'm referring to God's blessings on America once again. Be sure that God cannot bless our rebellion against His Word, against His Son, and against His church. God cannot bless the murder of unborn babies here in America. More than 1 million every year, and perhaps even millions, nobody knows for sure. God cannot bless the position we take in America concerning homosexuality and same-sex marriages. God cannot bless us as we abandon the church of the living God on the Lord's Day here in America to follow our own pursuits and our own pleasures. God cannot bless our replacing worship with pleasure and sports. God cannot bless our casual, carnal, careless, and often Christless, apostate form of religion that's being practiced today as modern contemporary worship. God cannot bless a nation where sin is good and righteousness is looked upon as evil. If our nation ever comes back to God, it'll not be in our political realm. It'll be one person and one family at a time that decides to make God, Jehovah, their God, Jesus, their Lord and Savior, and the Holy Bible, their book. This morning, I want us to look at five different verses from the Scripture. And these five different verses convey important decisions that we must make before we expect God's promise upon us. First of all, we must settle once and for all just who our God is here in America. Psalm 33 verse 12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance." Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The Bible doesn't say, blessed is the nation that worships a higher power. The devil is a higher power than we are. He's talking about Jehovah God, the Lord God. America's God has never been Buddha. America's God has never been Confucius. America's God has never been any one of the millions of gods worshipped by the Hindus. America's God has never been Allah, the God of the Muslims. You say, well, that's just God by another name. Yeah, it's the God of this world by another name. It's not Jehovah God. In the beginning of our nation, in the formation of our nation, America's God was and must remain Jehovah God, manifest visibly in the person of the virgin-born Son of God, Jesus Christ. How can we expect God to bless America again when America does not even know who their God is? Jehovah God is to be our God, then we must also believe His Bible. If Jehovah God is to be our God, then we must also accept His Son as our Savior, Jesus Christ. No person can come to God except through Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me." If the Bible be true, and I believe with all my heart and soul it is the very Word of God, then if we're going to have a relationship with God and the blessings of God, we must come to God only through God's Son, Jesus Christ. People God has chosen as His own are those who come to Him through Jesus Christ. The blessings of God upon a nation is dependent upon the people of that nation accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior and God manifest in the flesh. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Seldom does a nation ever come to God, but individuals can come to God. We here in America, regardless of what politics is going on and what the politician is saying, our stand individually must be to come back to God and to His Word. When we do this, then our family and our nation can be blessed. I don't know what you're going to do, but I've chosen Jehovah God as my God. and His Son Jesus Christ is my Savior. Have you? So first of all, if God's ever going to bless America again, we've got to decide who our God really is. Secondly, not only does God's blessings come to a nation and a people who chooses Jehovah as God, as their God, and Jesus as their Savior, but these same people are promised happiness. That's what Psalm 144 verse 15 says. It didn't say happy is the people who rules the world. It didn't say happy is the people who have cheap gasoline. It didn't say happy are the people who are extremely prosperous. The Bible says in Psalm 144 verse 15, happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. It's a wonderful thing when the confusion is put to rest and the question marks are pushed aside and we put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ as God and as Savior. There's but one way for nations to be prosperous and happy, and that way is to acknowledge and obey God. This could be true nationally if our nation would return to God and His Word. I don't know if they ever will. I hope they do. But this I do know, it can be true of your family and of your life if you as an individual will come to God today and make His Bible the guide of your life. Man's looking for happiness in the wrong places. They're looking for happiness doing the wrong things. Sin's not going to make you happy. Sin brings confusion, heartache, sorrow. Sin tears down. It hurts. It breaks lives. It leaves scars. It rots and ruins and destroys. So there's no happiness in sin. The devil lies to you about it and makes you think, that's the place where I can be fulfilled and happy. But you look at the sinner. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. You don't see the sinner with a smile on their face and a lovely countenance. You see the frowns and the scars and the wrinkles of the brow. It's a hard life. There's a place and a relationship that promises real happiness. And that place and relationship is with Jesus Christ. For only in Christ can we establish and build a right relationship with God. Then may I say also in the third place that God's promise of blessing and happiness to a nation of people based on the people seeking after righteousness. Proverbs 14 verse 34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Now we don't like to hear that, do we? We'd rather hear that sin is wonderful, sin is fun, do your own thing, live it up, eat, drink, and be merry, sow your wild oats. But that's not what God says. God says sin is a reproach to any people. Now don't you know there's families in our church hurting today, not because of doing right, but because of sin. But righteousness exalteth a nation. This righteousness is spoken of here means the moral rightness of a people or a person. Righteousness also exalts a home. Righteousness exalts a family in the sight of God. Righteousness exalts a family in the sight of other people. Is there moral rightness in your family and home today? The Bible says sin is a reproach to any people. We allow sin to find a safe and acceptable place in our homes. God forbid! No wonder there's so much pornography and immorality in our nation today. We invite it in. We forget, we scratch out this verse from the Bible. Sin is a reproach to any people. We invite it into our homes and wonder why our marriages fail and our children are so messed up today. We have family members that are telling them, "Oh, sin is all right. Don't listen to the preacher." Or maybe they're even saying, "Your mom and dad's just, they just don't understand. Sin's okay. They're liars. God said, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." God's promise is very plain. Matthew 6:33, God says it this way, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you." We spend our days concerned and worrying about what we're going to eat, where we're going to live, how we're going to pay our bill, what are we going to do, what are we going to wear. And the context of this verse in Matthew 6 tells about seeking Jesus Christ first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom we enter into by the new birth. So get saved first and know that you're saved. And then seek after His righteousness. Do right. Live right. God said all these things, what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, where we're going to live, how we're going to pay our bills, how we will provide for our family. All of these things will be provided you. That's the promise of God. God said, just put me first. That's the reason the Bible tells us that in all things, Christ is to have the preeminence. That's the reason the Bible tells us He's to have our first love and we're to do His first works. There's promises of blessing and happiness when God's people seek after God and seek to live right and obey Him. Then the fourth thing I see here, if we're going to have God's blessing on our lives and our nation once again, then we must make sure that our relationship with Israel is right. Now you listen to me. We're living in a time when people are turning against Israel. It may be America is the last real friend that Israel has. And there's a move on in our nation to distance ourselves from Israel. But there is an everlasting covenant made. There is an everlasting promise made by God way back in the book of Genesis. And it's never, never, never been done away with. Listen to it in Genesis 12, verse 2 and 3. God says to Abraham, "I will make of thee a great nation." That's Israel. "And I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be blessed." That's His promise to Israel. And here's what we need to listen to. "I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Now in that first part of that, we find ourselves either in the place of being blessed or cursed, depending on our relationship with Israel. And I'm talking about individually as a family, and I'm talking about nationally. It bothers me when our president and our Congress is making decisions that cause Israel to give away land to people that are not Israelis. God gave them that land for an everlasting inheritance. They were not to sell it and give it away. There was a severe penalty on them that moved the landmarks and stole the land. And I don't think it is an accident that shortly after Sharon led his country to do this, he had a stroke. He's out of commission capacity. I believe God judged him. You say, "Oh, preacher, you ought not to say that." I believe God judged him, because he went against God's word, went against God's command. And I believe God judges nations today that go against God's word and God's promise in relationship, our relationship to Israel. All the earth shall be blessed because of this nation called Israel. So what does that mean? It means that through Israel will come a greater than Abraham and a greater than Isaac and a greater than Jacob and a greater than David. Through Israel will come the Messiah, the Savior, Jesus Christ. He did. You say, but they rejected Him. Yes, and blindness in part has come to Israel right now because of it. They're in the shape they're in because when He came to His own received Him not. We who are saved, we who do know Christ, must understand the principles of the Word of God and make sure you understand that if God's ever going to bless America again, then we've got to make sure our relationship with Israel remains what it ought to be. Right. Friendly. Helpful. Caring. And so forth. Can God bless America again? Yes, He can. But I know it's not going to start in Washington. And it's not going to begin because of the elections this coming November. If God blesses America again, it'll be because individual Americans, me and you, come back to God. Make sure our life, our home, our marriage, our family, and our church relationship is right with God. Because God exalteth a nation that's righteous and a people that's righteous. And God will bless a people who bless Israel. God will bless a nation who makes God their God. And God will bless a nation. Provide happiness for that nation when God becomes our master and our Lord. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you don't, then you don't know God. You say, but I've got a close relationship with God. No, you don't. Because God's Word said, no man comes to the Father but through Jesus. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. The first thing we ought to decide if we're wanting God's blessings on our life and our nation, the first thing we must decide is, do I know Jesus personally as my Savior? Can I look back and remember when I accepted Him as Savior? If you can't look back and remember the time. You may not know the date, but you'll sure remember the experience if you've accepted Christ as your Savior. And if you can't remember that, then you're in trouble with God. You think I can stand up here and say I don't remember getting married? Boy, I do. And I remember every day of it for 50 years now. And I'm not complaining about it. I'm rejoicing in it. But just as surely as I remember getting married, I remember as a 15-year-old boy when I got saved. Do you? Do you? That's the first step of getting right and back to the place where God can bless us. Then after we get saved, we need to follow the Lord in believers' baptism and get into the church He established. The place where God's people come together to worship God and honor God and go out from to carry out the Great Commission in a world going to hell. Then we need to make sure we're right in our daily walk, in our daily actions, our daily dealings. It's possible for you to be saved and after a period of time not right with God in your life right now. It's possible for you to be a man or woman in this church and an officer or a leader or a teacher in this church and you not be right with God right now. Well, that's not going to help our nation. That's not going to help our church, and it's not going to help your family. It's not going to help you. You say, what do I do? Get right with God. Confess your sin. Confess your backsliding. Turn from it. Come back to God where you ought to be. You say, but oh, America needs to do this. Okay, let's do it one person at a time. One family at a time. One church at a time. How about starting with you? How about starting with you this morning? Are you saved? Have you been scripturally baptized after you got saved? Are you faithful in attending His church and serving Him and worshiping Him and supporting His program? Are you living righteously? That means right, according to the Bible, not your opinion, but the Bible. See, our opinion has been twisted by depravity and sin, but the Bible changes not. How about you? You say, now, preacher, I don't like that. I don't appreciate that. Well, go ahead. You don't have to accept it. But you're not going to have God's blessings on you either. The Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word shall not, will not pass away. And guess what? When it's all over, and it's all burnt up, and a new heaven and a new earth is established, and we stand before Jesus, and He judges the life we've lived here, guess what He's going to use to judge us? This book. This book. This book you've chosen not to live by. This book you've rebelled against. This book you have no time for. Seems to me if we want God's blessings on our marriage, our home, our family, our business, we need to learn to live by this book and come back to the God of this book. How about you this morning? Father in heaven, that's our message. Speak to our hearts. Draw us back to you. There's not one person in here.